Caesarea. All right, welcome everyone. My name is Craig, and it's so good to see you today. Those of you who are joining us online, all of you guys who made it today, and it's such a joy. We love it when we're here as families and we get to do church with everyone together. And so, welcome to all of you. Right, there are some packs. Kids, there's some beads in there. You can do that at any point you want to during the service, but there is a specific craft in there. There's a cross with some kind of weaving. You just really need to locate the black string for today. The rest of it you're going to need. You can hand your packs back in after church this morning and get it again on Sunday to finish off your craft on Sunday. So beading and the other stuff you can do, but just save off on the other colors for the rest of the weekend and specifically on Sunday. So there is a huge importance to knowing the life of Jesus. And there's a reason why we spend so much time engaging with passages where we see Jesus encountering people. Because it gives us a great window into his heart for us, how he loves us, how he cares for us when we see how Jesus encounters people. But we know this for ourselves because when we're trying to find out information about people or a company, we might go to someone and say, have you ever encountered this person before? And you go, yes, actually, you know, once or twice I met them and yes, that's a good person or they're a great guy. You know, we do this with companies. You know, you go onto social media and you'll put a shout out. Can anybody recommend me like a good pest control or waterproofing, or I need a plumber? And we look for their reviews. We see how have people encountered them. You know, I've kind of found myself a trustee in the complex that I live in. And so now there is always maintenance to be done. And this is a big deal because we need to make sure that we find the right person. So we contact other buildings, we contact other people, we try to get reviews and even like testimonials from contractors just to see how people have encountered them. Are they good? Do they do good work? And so this is why looking at how Jesus encountered people is so important for us, because we see the heart of the Father. We see how much he loves us by the way he treated other people. And as we are going into this Easter weekend, we are going to be looking at very specific encounters Jesus had with people to see what that means for us. And today, we are going to see how we can encounter the forgiveness of Jesus through a story that Jesus had with someone. But Caesar is right, I am old. And I've been up early this morning, so my brain is a bit foggy. And so I'm going to need some help this morning. And kids, this is where you're going to come in. And I mean kids. Adults, I'm not going to respond to your hands going up as much as you try. Edith, my helper, has got some Easter eggs as prizes. And so she's going to hand them out. Guys, what do we call today? Anybody want to answer that? I'm looking for a child. Hand up and then you can answer. Jethro. Good Friday. You can get an Easter egg. If I get one to Jethro, Good Friday. What? So now tell me and remind me about the story. Help me fill in what happened around Good Friday. What is, yes, Aaron. I know that's Sunday. Died on the cross. Okay, yes, you can get an Easter egg. Okay, good recovery. Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, brother and sister love. Right, anybody else? Tell me some stories. Yeah, Jesus died on the cross. What else happened? Anybody want to venture an answer? Guys, kids, you're going to lose out because then I am going to go to the adults if you guys don't want to answer. And if yes? Yeah, he was arrested. He was beaten. Yes, you can give one to Levi. Parents, if you whisper an answer to your kid, you can get half the Easter egg. Right, what else? Let's get going. Help me fill in the story. Yeah, Jesus died on the cross. He was beaten. Anybody else? Yes? Yes, it went black in the evening. Go give one to Ethan. All the way at the back there. Yes, in the gallery. But shout because I'm old and deaf. Yeah. What do you remember? Tell me about the story. Yes, brilliant answer. Love it. Hey, good job. Well done. Solid ground. Edie, we need to get one up into the gallery. Are you going? Okay, yes. Yes, that happened. Amazing. Listen, 10 marks, 10 out of 10 to Jody and Sizwe. These are fantastic answers. Pao, we need two up in the gallery. Upstairs. Two upstairs. Yeah? All right, let's have one or two more. What else can you tell me? Anything else that we're forgetting? Yeah? Yeah, that happened around this time, but you already have one? Okay, here we go. That's the one I'm looking for. Yeah? Well done. Let's get an Easter egg down there. Okay. Your Edith is getting a workout. Yeah, that's a big encounter. Judas betrayed Jesus. All right, last one. Are there? I hope there's eggs still. I think there might be one or two more. All right. Yes, this side. Yes, they gave him vinegar to drink on the cross. Excellent. Edith, are there any more in the bag? Okay, there was a hand over here. Maya? Yeah, while he was out on the cross, he cried out to God over there. Then last one. Anyone want the last egg going? You've got an egg. You've got an egg. Anyone? All right, yes, there at the back. I can't hear. A crown of thorns was put in his head. So, Pa, give the last one there at the back. And thank you for being such an amazing helper. Well done, kids. Yeah, thanks for helping me fill in all the story. Let's give them a round of applause. So much happened around today. So many encounters. But the one that I want to maybe focus our time on is Jesus' encounter with Judas. And in all the midst that was going on, and all that was happening, I think this must have been a really hectic thing that happened. And so we heard from one of the kids, yes, Judas betrayed Jesus. Now, again, let's think a little bit around that story. This was one of the disciples, someone who had been following Jesus, been part of Jesus' ministry for nearly 3 years. And so what's happened is Jesus' popularity is growing. Jesus is out in public and he's going from town to town. He's preaching the good news of the kingdom. He's healing people. He's feeding the masses. There's miracles that are happening and people are starting to think, hey, maybe this is the Messiah. Maybe all the prophecies and all the promises of God are true. Maybe this is finally happening. But the religious leaders, the chief priests, they were battling. They were not comfortable. They're not happy with all the attention that Jesus is getting. So they start to plot and scheme. They think we need to do something about this Jesus person and all the attention that he's getting. So they start a smear campaign. They start to publicly discredit him. But it's not working. People are following him. More and more people are believing. And yes, when he rides into Jerusalem, the donkey, the crowds are just worshiping. They're praising him. And so now they have to ramp up this problem that they have to figure out how to solve it. And so they go to kind of the extreme. They go, we've got to make this problem disappear. Jesus has to die. We need to kill Jesus. And it tells us some stuff about Judas and his greed. And Judas goes to the chief priest and he says, I'm an inside man. I can give you a window and a gap to make your problem go away. And they sign off and agree on a sum of money. The text actually even says Satan entered Judas as he goes and he makes this deal to have his part in the arrest and death of Jesus. But here's where this encounter is so incredible for me, because after he makes this arrangement with them, he stays with Jesus. And he's even with Jesus at the Last Supper. The night before this all goes down, Jesus is in the room with the 12 disciples and Judas is at the table. And the text is amazing and the story is so powerful. And we see this in Luke chapter 22. And the text goes like this: "And Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks and he broke it, giving it to them. He said, 'This is my body. It's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the cup. It's the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" We know that part so well, but we often don't get to this verse. "But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine at the table." Read, Jesus served Judas supper. He's at the table. He knows, this is Jesus, right? He knows what's going on. He knows what is in the heart of Judas. And he hands him a piece of bread saying, "This is my body broken for you." He's pouring him something to drink. And he says, "My blood being poured out in the new covenant for you, Judas." Blows my mind, this encounter that Jesus has with his betrayer. It's amazing. When we see, like, he's the ultimate villain in the story, right? How does he hand over someone who he's seen what he's seen and heard what he's heard? And his greed consumes him. Someone so vile gets handed the opportunity for peace and reconciliation and forgiveness by the very hand of Jesus. Kids, this is where you can maybe start to weave in the black piece of string. Man, because this is at the center of what we're encountering today, is the forgiveness and reconciliation with Jesus. Today is about the offer of forgiveness of my sin and your sin. What we celebrate today is peace, forgiveness, and reconciliation that is found in Jesus alone. And that invitation is for everyone. If that invitation of forgiveness is there for Judas, that invitation is there for me. Because you can think, "Yo, I could never receive forgiveness. There's the things that I've done, the shame, the embarrassment, the things that have happened in my life or that I've done to people or that people have done to me." What this encounter shows isn't there isn't a single person who you could imagine that would be outside the invitation of Jesus. It doesn't exist. When you look at Jesus, who's at the table, and Jesus hands him bread, and he hands him the wine, and he says, "This is my body broken for you. It's there for you and me, and it's possible." Now, the story ends badly for Judas. He doesn't take the invitation. His guilt and his shame and his sin consumes him. And while they're conflicting stories of exactly what happens, but he's driven out, and in his shame and his grief, he takes his life. Can't even spend the money that he got from the deal because his sin consumed him. And again, just the invitation is so important, because when we encounter Jesus, there's his sin, there's his shame, but Jesus' offer is there. But he hides. He doesn't come to Jesus with it and say, "Yes, Jesus, it's me." Jesus would have extended forgiveness there, I'm sure. But instead, he runs from Jesus. And I'm so aware that that's what we do as well. is this idea of giving Jesus our sin, allowing Jesus into our shame, our guilt, our embarrassment. We want to hide. But let's not do that today. The cross of Jesus is our peace. It's our forgiveness. It is being made right with God. Maybe you're going, Craig, but it's hard for me to wrap my head around. You know, why the cross? Why is Jesus there and dying? And how does that mean forgiveness? Couldn't have God just forgiven me? Why couldn't he have just said, oh, Craig, you're forgiven? Why all of this stuff on Good Friday? And that's a good question. And there's a really good book called The Reason for God by Tim Keller, and he will unpack this argument a lot better than what I will. But just think about this example with me. A friend comes and visits you, and after the visit is over, they are leaving, and as they are reversing out your driveway, they reverse into the wall and the gates and damage it really badly. And you realize that your insurance doesn't cover the damages. So now you're left with a bit of a situation. So somebody has to pay the cost. So you could demand that your friend covers the full cost of the damages, right? Another option is you could cover the full cost, or maybe, you know, you come to some mutual arrangement where you talk about how much they can afford and you can afford, and you work out the cost for the repair of the damages. Notice what option isn't available, that the costs vanish completely into thin air. Right? Someone has to carry the cost for the damages incurred to the gates and the wall. Robert, not every example is like financial, right? Maybe someone has robbed you of happiness or opportunity or reputation. You know, you can't kind of put a price to that level of damage, right? And so when you think about how you were wronged, depending on the severity of it, there's a debt incurred that doesn't go away when the person says to you, well, like, I'm really sorry for what I did to you. That apology doesn't just return your happiness or return your lost opportunities or reputation. It just doesn't go away. There's a debt that has been incurred there. So again, there's some options, right? The one option is vengeance. You've wronged me. There's a debt. And so that debt's going to get paid back by you suffering for what you did to me. That could be you going out and, you know, an aggressive confrontation. It could be slandering them behind their back or gossip. And when you see their reputation tarnishing or them begin to suffer, you might, you know, maybe feel a sense of, well, yes, this person's suffering, so good. Now I'm feeling better about what they did to me. They're paying back their debt to me. But I'm sure you're aware there's some real problems with that, because we just get so self-consumed when we're behaving like that. That leads us to bitterness and resentments and a whole host of other things. Well, what about then the other option? Well, the other option is that I forgive the person. But Craig, that's hectic. Well, forgiveness here is, it's meaning, like, I'm refusing to let them pay for what they did. See, this is important because when I hold back from lashing out to someone that has hurt me, man, that's bringing me agony. That's a whole other thing, because here I'm not suffering the original offense, whatever that was. I'm not suffering a double offense because now they get away. See, when I forgive them, I'm absorbing the debt. Tim Keller in his book, he talks about that being an agony unto death. When someone who has hurt us so badly and we've experienced such offense and we choose to not lash out, when we choose not to get vengeance and we actively move towards forgiving them, man, that is real pain. And Tim Keller says that kind of death is a death that leads to resurrection, because we start to then really experience life because we've genuinely forgiven them. And we're not trapped in the forgiveness, or we're not trapped in the pain of what they've done to us, but we walk free. And so when we think about this question, why did Jesus have to die? Well, there is a cost to forgiveness. And that's the first reason. The second reason is because real love is a real exchange. And again, track with me in this example. Imagine you are walking with your friend along a river. And your friend says, I'm going to show you how much I love you. And they run and jump into the river and drown. It's bizarre, right? Thinking like, that's not love, your friend's mad. But now imagine you walking alongside the river, you stumble and you fall in and you are struggling and you are drowning and you cry out for help. And your friend courageously runs and dives into the river and pushes you up onto the bank so you get to safety, as then swept away in the tide and drowns. Isn't that a better exchange of love in saving us in our helpless state? Now, I know these are just analogies, but when we think about what today means, when we talk about why Jesus had to die, why on the cross? Because forgiveness is costly. I love just the statement out of Tim Keller's book. Should it surprise us then that when God determined to forgive us rather than punish us for all the ways that we have wronged each other and wronged Him, that He went to the cross in the person of Jesus Christ and died there? Forgiveness is costly, and I'm utterly helpless in my position. Someone had to bear the debt of sin, that punishment, that cost had to be absorbed by someone, and I'm utterly helpless to do it myself. So God in the person of Jesus comes and rescues me. He, in that river analogy, He comes to my rescue. He comes to my aid, and He bears it alone, all for me, so that I can experience His forgiveness. Understanding all of that, look what Ephesians 2, 13 through 16 says. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, who has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law and its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, to which He put to death their hostility. Today is so important for us. When you think about what He did, it genuinely means that I can have peace between God. The hostility is gone. The debt, it's gone in its place. When I come to Jesus and accept this, I have peace and I can genuinely be in relationship with God. This becomes the foundation of my life. This is now my identity by which I go through life as a follower of Jesus Christ. It has reconciled me to God. I live with God because there is now peace with Him, and that then reflects out into everything I do in my life. Colossians 1, only just the last few verses are going to be up on the screen, but I'm just going to read a broader passage just because it celebrates Jesus so beautifully. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and He holds all things together. He's the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. And here's what will be on the screen. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth and things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Again, it's all over. This is what today is about. When you think, why did Jesus die on the cross? So that there is peace for me between God. Genuine peace. Him and I, God and I, have been reconciled. It affects everything. His blood had to be shed on the cross. He had to come to my aid. And he had to bear the full weight of it alone, because I could not pay it. It was too steep. And so I stand forgiven, reconciled, at peace, all because of my Savior Jesus and what he did on the cross for me. So we're going to celebrate that. So as Jesus did with his followers in the room that we talk about the Last Supper, as he took bread and he broke it. And again, remembering who was in that room, saying, this is my body broken for you. Eat it. Remember me. My cup, drink it. This is my blood poured out so you can have peace and reconciliation. Again, do this in remembrance of me. Now, we're going to do it a little bit maybe differently today. You were given a piece of paper and pen when you walked in. Does everybody have one? Just make sure that you've got a piece of paper and pen. If you don't, just stick your hand up and someone will get one to you immediately. There are some here in the front and around. So just keep your hand up till it gets brought to you. All right, it's coming. Great. So while that's happening, you need a piece of paper and a pen, so keep those hands up. At the communion table, there are some wire crosses. And you need for communion the pen, the piece of paper, the wire cross, and your communion elements. And this is what's going to happen. You need to think through where you're at right now. Because we want you to encounter the cross. We want you to encounter the forgiveness of Jesus as the invitation of take my body, broken for you. Take this cup poured out for you in a very real way. And as people encounter Jesus, we want you to encounter that as well. And so what you're going to do is this. You need to think through where you're at. And I'm going to try to give some categories to help you. Maybe today is the first time you've really been exposed to what Jesus did for you. You didn't realize that this was personal, that I was helpless and needed Jesus to do this for me, to reconcile me to the Father. And you've never made that decision to say, I'm going to accept that. There's still a hand over here and at the back and in the side here. Guys, hands up just for everyone. Thanks, guys, for handing that out. So this is maybe your first time that you're going to engage with this. So what I want you to do is write your own name down on the piece of paper, if that's where you find yourself. And as you take communion, look at your name through the cross. The cross is a frame. And as you're looking at your own name through the cross, you're saying, I'm accepting this invitation, Jesus. I'm not going to do a Judas and run from you with my sin. I can't. The invitation is just too great. I'm going to say yes. And so I'm going to take of your body and your blood. I'm going to take communion. I'm going to say, Jesus, I trust you. And I'm accepting your forgiveness, your peace, and your reconciliation. That's an offer for me today. And I'm going to make the decision and I'm going to follow you. Man, what a wonderful invitation is there for you today, and a great way to facilitate it. Like I said, write your name and look at it through the cross. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you are a follower of Jesus already. You've done that. You've accepted his forgiveness, his peace, and his reconciliation. But man, you've been hurt by people. And so while you've received his forgiveness, you're struggling to give forgiveness because of how people have hurt you. Because we've been reconciled to God, because we've received forgiveness and peace as followers of Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity to go against all that the world says and give people forgiveness they don't deserve because of forgiveness we don't deserve. And so with the invitation to have communion, maybe you're not writing your own name down, but you're writing down the name of someone who has hurt you. And you carrying unforgiveness and pain by pain and hurt done by someone. And as you're taking communion, you're going to look at their name through the cross. And as you are thinking about their name, as you are taking communion, ask God to start to give that pain to him. And start to pray and say, God, I want to try forgive this person. As I said, forgiveness is costly. You're absorbing the debt yourself and saying, Jesus, I'm going to forgive them like you have forgiven me. And start living in the forgiveness that Jesus has given you. So what you might do as you take communion is write down the name of another person before you take communion. And then you might be, as I said, you're not in either one of those categories. You love Jesus. It's a joy to be a follower of him. You're in good, healthy relationships with people. But there are people in your life who are not here today and aren't here today. They don't know about this. And you're the person to then reach out to them personally with the forgiveness of Jesus and the message and reconciliation and peace of Jesus that's an offer. It might be the person who sits at work with you. It might be someone in your street, your neighbor, in your running club, your cycling club, your paddle tennis club. It's someone who you know, but they're not here because they don't know Jesus. And write their name down. And as you are writing their name down, look at their name through the cross and go, Jesus, man, I'm realizing they're not here because no one's talking to them about you. And I'm the person because I'm in their life and I've experienced your forgiveness and I know what's on offer and they need to hear this. And so give me the courage and the conviction out of how you have reconciled me, forgiven me, and given me your peace that I'm going to risk and share that information with them so they can know what I know and they can have what I have. So all of us have a name to write down. Either it's our own name and we're going to say, Jesus, I'm coming to you today and I'm giving you my sin, my shame, my guilt, and I'm giving it to you and I'm taking your peace and relationship with you because we've been reconciled. Jesus, I'm giving you the name of the person who hurt me, the person who I said I could never forgive, this person who cost me so much. And Jesus, as you have given me forgiveness I do not deserve and peace I do not deserve, I'm going to look at them through the cross. And as you would have forgiven Judas, Jesus, help me to start forgiving this person. Or that name who is someone who you need to share with. So I'm going to pray, and then you come up and get your wire cross, take the communion, and then take the time. There's no rush, few minutes. And you can then start to do that. And once you've written the name and prayed, take communion, and then we'll wrap up this morning. Jesus, forgiveness is costly. It cost you the full weight of our sin as you bore it and paid the price for our sin when I was helpless to do it. Jesus, you gave me a forgiveness I did not deserve. While there was hostility between us, you did all the work to make it right so that I could know your peace, I could know your forgiveness. And I can encounter that forgiveness today. Jesus, there's a room full of people here today who want to encounter your forgiveness in so many ways, personally. Jesus, for those who are personally wrestling with actually giving it to you, help them do it. Help them feel your love and your acceptance that you turn no one away. Jesus, the pain that people are bearing from years of hurt, Jesus, help them see that person through the cross and the forgiveness that you offer them. And none of us deserve forgiveness, but we have it anyway, and so we give it. And help us then also to see the world and the people around us as well through the cross. Help us to be moved to live this reconciliation, this forgiveness in ways we never have before. Thank you that we get to encounter you this morning, Jesus.